Dave, Republican, said neither had received a request to speak to the students. Man. And the Boulder County Republican Party vice chairman met with some of the students, and he said afterwards, you know, they have every right to have their voices heard, but their views are based on a lack of information and knowledge, and I think we owe it to them to help them alleviate.
No real onus placed on homosexuality.
Doesn't my body drive you wild with desire? Well, doesn't it?
It's a very nice book.
Oh, do you really think so, darling? It does have a certain kind of style. I mean, look, it's very flat here. Not much hips. And, here.
It's a little early in the day for this sort of thing, isn't it?
Maybe you just don't sleep with girls.
As to whether or not the two sides would cooperate.
Tensions grew when secrets were withheld from an American intelligence officer visiting Bletchley Park. He wrote an angry report home. To resolve the crisis, Bletchley Park's second-in-command traveled to Washington for a meeting with the U.S. Navy. They signed an agreement to resolve concerns about security and to cooperate fully on the breaking of the naval enigma. As part of the deal, American codebreakers would be sent to Bletchley Park. Together, they would take on the challenge of the fourth rotor.
What I think bothered us most was the destruction of the merchant ship and the destruction of the naval ship. And knowing that if only we could break this wretched code.
They were pretty pissed off, but on Saturday night, disco woman drove everyone over to the Phoenix coffee shop so they could meet other voice jailers and have a latte. But for Mr. 115, the lure of his pipe was again
too great. Don't sleep with girls.
He stayed home and smoked a lot of marijuana. And
hello, I'm Mr.
event, one of those things that marks a career. Let's talk about it. And let's talk about it in its sort of duality. You've written that there's an uneasy but intimate relation between Robert Lowell's harrowing life and his poetry. You knew the man and boy. You've written about his poetry. Take us into this rather large subject. Should we speak of him now as the great American voice of the second half of the 20th century?
Basic assumptions which are usually unexamined. And these unexamined systems of belief are extremely powerful.
This is the Tom Likas Show.
From Los Angeles at 1-800-5800-TOM, wide open telephone. Anything goes, anything at all on this Flash Friday. Valerie on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
God bless you, Tom, for telling the truth about Ronald Reagan.
In the name of security,
She came from Greece. She had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. She told me that her dad was loaded. I said, in that case, I'll have a rum and Coca-Cola. She said, fine. And in 30 seconds' time, she said, I want to live like common people. I want to do whatever common people do. I want to sleep with common people. I want to sleep with common people like you. Well, what else could I do? I said, I'll see what I can do. I took her to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I had to start it somewhere. So it started there. I said, pretend you've got no money. She just laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. I said, yeah? Well, I can't see anyone else smiling in here.
Are you sure?
You want to live like common people? You want to see whatever common people see? You want to sleep with common people?
Oh.
You want to sleep with common people like me? But she didn't understand.
She just smiled and held my hand.
Oh.
People
are living together. So if you only like boys, I mean, I wouldn't dream of pestering you. But do you sleep with girls or don't you?
Sally, you don't ask questions like that.
You'll never live like common people. You'll never do whatever common people do. You'll never fail like common people. You'll never watch your life slide out of you and dance and drink and screw. Because there's nothing else to do.
So many lives and sink so many U-boats.
You know what's fucking horribly overrated is computer porn, internet porn is so incredibly over. Like, I have videos. Why would you want to?
Universal access. With both telephones and electricity, there's...
Now, you had a caller who wanted to know, or you wanted to know how he defeated the Soviet Union?
Yes.
To the best of my knowledge, I never heard of Whitaker Chambers. I have never... laid eyes on him, and I should like to have the opportunity to do so. His statements about me are complete fabrication.
Must be what, in your early 40s now, if I remember. You were born in June, or was it May?
All character, introduction, and development. This is Rosina's entrance aria, her first number, and she has to identify who she is, what she is, what's on her mind, and what she wants.
The boy was homosexual.
And it just seemed rational. It seemed reasonable. It seemed, I mean, that's what the story was. Nobody, there was no fuss with anybody. None at all.
Oh, screw Maximilian!
I do.
So do I.
So, things change more quickly than you might imagine.
Set of captured U-boat code tables arrived at Bletchley Park, enabling the code breakers to uncover a critical weakness in the four-rotor system. The German four-rotor Enigma, used mainly on submarines, had to communicate with other naval stations that used only a three-wheel machine.
Firesign Theater presents A Life in the Day.
Turn it on.
Good morning. Station KWKWT-TV in Dingrave, Montana begins its broadcast day. KWKWT-TV is owned and operated by the Firesign Theater Broadcasting Company, with studios and transmitters located high atop the Paiute Mound. Portions of today's programming are pre-recorded.
Well, good morning. I'm Hugh Downer.
And I'm Patty Pop.
And this is Today's Day Today.
This is Monday, January 29th. What happened today in history, Hugh?
Well, Patty, on this day in 1772, the Peace of Lucerne was signed, ending the 40 Years' War, and the plague broke out in Lisbon. In 1898, America's first musical show, The Black Crook, opened at the old Henry Hudson Theater on Little West 8th Street, Patty.
Well, Hugh, famous people born today include Jack LaRue, George Matetsky, The Beatles, and Marvin Fingelman, our producer.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Marvin. Happy birthday to you.
Marvin's been producing this show for 26 years, Patty. You know that?
27 years.
Well, it's what?
27 years.
Patty, it's National Groundnut Day in South Carolina. It's open season on bobolinks, starts today in the Midwest. I know we must have a lot of viewers in Iowa watching us from their trailers, guns oiled and ready.
Well, get a few bobolinks for me, boys.
And, Patty, do you know what else today is?
Yes, I do, Hugh. It's Unification Day.
That's right, Patty. It was just a year ago today when War President Johnson was given the mandate.
That's why the flags are at half-mast, Hugh, and all the banks are open.
Well, Patty, what's the report on the weather?
Well, Hugh, that cold front from Alaska today has moved into the Gulf of California due to the disappearance last night of the Sierra Nevada mountains.
Uno, dos,
This would be that it would bend an extra fuel pod to add extra fuel to make sure that there was a huge raging fire that they could blame for the collapse of the buildings.
It's a broad social judgment that everybody, rich or poor, in a rural area, in an urban area, should have some basic level of access to electricity and to phones. There's a corresponding fear that if we were to turn electricity and phones over to some unregulated profit-maximizing company, what they might do is cut off poor areas of cities or cut off rural areas altogether.
In their influence over our lives. We'll begin with one very common idea. It's built into our common sense, which is that the world, the physical world, consists of two aspects, respectively, form and matter. This was foisted on us by Aristotle, and also by the Bible, because it is said that God created man out of the dust of the earth, and as it were made a figurine in his own image, and then breathed the breath of life into its nostrils, so that this form of clay became a living being. And so underneath that lies the notion that everything material is made of some sort of basic stuff, like clay.
Weeks of delay before the correct diagnosis was made, and have been subjected to unnecessary laboratory tests, hospitalization, and even surgery. He also went on to say, the presence of parasites also means that many Americans are not as clean as they thought they were. Dr. Dennis Jernek mentioned that the large number of parasitic infections discovered is more widespread than most health professionals thought.
Is the basis of POTS. And for centuries, scientists, philosophers wanted to know, what is that stuff? What are we made of? Now look here.
Nobody knows what causes it, and nobody knows how to cure it. The best theory is that we blame a retrovirus, the human immunodeficiency virus. Its presence is made known to us by the useless antibodies which appear in reaction to its entrance into the bloodstream through a cut or an orifice. The antibodies are powerless to protect the body against it. Why? We don't know. The body's immune system ceases to function.
I want you to understand that health practitioners, whether medical or alternative, really care about your health.
Get to the studded cod piece.
High priests, you know. So I don't take it very seriously. I wouldn't restrict anything. I would leave it up to the people. You know, these conservatives are so interested in the marketplace. Let the market decide. And yet, they're so eager to have government in on moral issues. They think of them as moral issues, whether it's abortion or stem cell research or these language issues. They're so interested. They want the government off our backs unless it's perhaps the uterus that...
Coming up next...
You tuned in just in time to hear the big rockin' daddy of the airwaves, Nick Danger!
Another totally unslanted opinion from yet another editor of The Daily Feed. The Daily Feed.
The
This is Nick Danger reporting. Today, I believe in the holidays. Call me traditional, but what I love most is the general surreal feeling of this most sacred time of the year. I was raised in an Orthodox surrealist family, and we believe that Jesus was born with a little bit of a lead into the holidays at Halloween, and we always decorate the creche with pumpkins and skeletons and back-to-school special coupon offers. We believe that he was born into the humble home of a general contractor named Ahmed, who lives in a modest 14-room chalet in the Hollywood Hills worth $3 million, and that his parents worry about him becoming exposed to crack in the public school system, so 12 days around before after his birth, they send him to a private school where he can be introduced to crack by a better class of addicts. And then he goes to the moon and has several adventures, and on the 11th day undergoes a mystical experience and wants to join a proto-Buddhist monastery in the Valley of the Moon and become a trusted advisor to Jerry Brown and shape the Democratic Party in California into something with some answers. Pretty surreal, huh?
You said it. That's Nick Danger reporting.
Solve the problem, the fourth rotor could be set in a special position that allowed the machine to simulate an old-fashioned three-rotor Enigma.
Sometimes the body even attacks itself.
Or the libido.
Her entrance aria, and we find out exactly who, what she is and what she wants based on this.
In 1948, the mostly Republican members of the House on Un-American Activities Committee, known as HUAC, were regarded as little more than opportunistic red bashers.
A carpenter makes tables out of wood, and a potter makes pots out of clay.
I don't know what's become of me. I don't feel the same anymore.
In a world where women don't feel fresh,
I need some sort of protection, something freshening.
In a world without Summer's Eve douche,
Dad! Dad!
Yes, son?
Have you ever looked at me? I mean what I've got down below.
Why, no, son. I had my eyes gouged out by buzzards.
I'd like you to look at this.
He did that by getting their butts kicked out of Afghanistan, and he did that by funding, arming, and training. I named Osama bin Laden. And teaching Osama bin Laden that one crazy radical with the right weapons could bring down superpower. Now, did we think that after we gave him all that training and he brought down one superpower, he wouldn't turn around and use?
At any rate, it's left open to a whole horror house of infections.
Now, you have always talked about...
Well, because it dictates ways of...
With the help of the captured tables, the code breakers worked out the settings of the first three rotors on the bombs, as they had in the past. Then simply ran through all 26 positions of the fourth rotor until they found the right one.
Speaking, and therefore thinking, that a person may not comfortable with or agree 100%.
Aria, so the first purpose is character identification.
It's sort of a diktat.
From microbes it usually defends against. Like Kaposi sarcomas, those lesions on your arms or your throat problem, or the glands.
Okay, new metaphysics. Jacked and plugged. Inserted and extended. Tacks and nails, nails and tacks. Hammering a nail into wood. Kind of tells you something. Okay, new metaphysics. Hammering and tacking. Still got consciousness. Still jacked and plugged. And no scientist to say no. Sometimes they drop out a little occasionally and come back onto you. They're like priests. Catholic priests, perhaps. Almost a tautology today. What some of those Catholic priests are doing right now. The children of friends of yours. One way, Kevin Bacon or another. And the terrorists. And then, oh my God, Black Tuesday. I believe those are the Ohio auditing machines tabulating right now. Going directly to Switchboard on the south side of Chicago, where a friend of Mr. Daly's talking to a friend from the north side of Chicago who's in touch with a man from the farther south side of Chicago, wired over to Brooklyn. Korov's personal encrypted land phone in the basement, relayed anonymously to his cell phone through a third party, friend of the party, paper bag in hand. Been going on since men in white coats climbed out of the slime, as they invented the slime. So what's a good, real American to do today? A non-Nazi American. Well, quite frankly, we can all go fuck ourselves, can't we? New metaphysics, driving hard through the night. And it's fairly late tonight, my friends. My usual romping hours on the Z Radio. Many media incarnations ago, when I roamed the ubiquity of the radio radio essence, which I am now relaying through an encrypted third-party phone from the South Side to get business done like a man, not some sissy girl, not some faggot, left-sided, something wrong with this picture kind of thing. Command, penetrate, and control. Three on a match kind of thing. Smoke them if you've got them. The real war today, if I can sneak this in, coming down on it. Domination reality. We've talked about it before. I know you've taken notes. Some of these concepts take years to seep down the chakras and come back up to where they're yours. But most of the time we're using ideas. They're on lease. Lease to buy.
And it is intolerant of other, I'm not saying it shouldn't be intolerant of.
Domination reality, fuck or get fucked. Usually it's a swingers group session, kind of an elephant walk, if you will. Well, we're getting and giving at the same time. I think it's called interfacing. We're playing that jazz, you know, where you act like a girly man and let it all hang out like they do in Wall Street, where it swings in the wind. But don't tell them that, or they'll liable to cash out another couple of buildings once all the payouts are in place and so forth, like in '01. Definite bag job from the get-go. Come on, don't pretend there's a Democratic Party there. Just blurt it out. Tell the truth by numbers. New metaphysics, swinging in the wind. Not afraid no hookworm. Some hookworm wants to fuck with my small intestine. I have vegetable foods to deal with them. I'll blast them out of oblivion. They want to go fuck with me. So if I ever want to put the show back on a radio somewhere, I'm going to have to get the tone machine out. Do some sine wave assignations and do some bipping. But I fear not. I follow the lead cusp of the media wave of waves. And I curl. I pipe. Or, what's it all for, I say. So all the hurt artificially inflicted upon the non-Nazis last Tuesday, including me, where's it all to go? What's it all about, Alfie? Well, if you don't have one already, you could get a spiritual back door for yourselves. A great work kind of thing. Creating a new world. Putting the key concept of the Matrix into practice.
Latent racism or something like that.
And use this freaking Matrix for what it's good at. Place to get the fuck out of. Out of town. I mean, I believe that's what it's telling us, isn't it? That this place sucks dick. Horrors beyond your imagination. But then again, that's what being beyond your imagination is all for. So we know that Kerry actually did win that election. We do know that, don't we? Come on. Slap yourself straight, will you? The voting machines are rigged, especially in Ohio, and kind of hand it to those Nazis. I mean, not that it's hard to outsmart the Democrats, because they are hampered by all that feminine accessories they have to carry around. You know how long it takes to get made up these days, especially in the winter and so forth. On a budget. So what's it all for? But most people aren't going to go to the promised land. Aren't on their way as we speak. Some will get more radicalized to the truth, like they have been the last few years already. Some will die in the trenches, although I get romantic now. Some will. And a beautiful thing that is. Hey, I guess Ralph Nader was right all along. I insert. I mean, if there's one thing about Ralph, Ralph is correct. Correctamundo. Some people, that's their job, you know. They protected that in childhood and kept it vouchsafed for themselves and are walking bastions of truth. Correctness. Find these people. Engage them. Respect them. And learn a friggin' thing or two, will ya? Best minds of our current generation. Besmirched by American success. The sciences, the businesses, the religiousnesses, especially the sciences. Very taxing. Going where no man in his right mind should ever go. I believe that's the prime directive there. Because once you take a system in flight and ad hoc grab a little section of the, probably the belly area, and say that that blind elephant is whole, you're in a world of trouble, my friend. You've got all sorts of body parts to emulate. And that's a job I wouldn't wish on a Nazi, for Christ's sakes. Because sometimes I like being a Nazi myself. It's fun. www.newmetaphysics.com. Get them while they're free, my friends, because pretty soon you're going to have to accept money also. And that is a barrier. In fact, they say it's a bigger barrier than getting them when you have to pay. I mean, anyone can just pay for things. That's so banal. I won't even think about it a moment longer. I'll just put it right out of my head. A talent the white man could learn, I might say, because he cannot do that. Can he? My niggas.
Soon the daily settings were on their way to the Admiralty and America. After 10 months in the cold, Bletchley Park was back.
But there are gradations in these so-called offenses.
We think it may also be able to slip past the blood-brain barrier into the brain, which is, of course, very bad news. And it's fatal, and we don't know what percent of people with suppressed immune responses.
Very interesting, Mr. Wizard. Why the fuck are you telling me this?
Well, I have just removed one of three lesions, which biopsy results will probably tell us is a Kaposi sarcoma lesion. And you have a pronounced swelling of glands in your neck, groin, and armpits. Lymphadenopathy is another sign. And you have oral candidiasis. And maybe a little more fungus under the fingernails of two digits on your right hand.
Put on another one? You know what else Reagan did? Reagan defeated Iran. He did that by giving chemical weapons to a guy named Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy created every problem we have right now. Every problem that, if you ask, the three problems, it's terrorism, it's Iraq, and it's the economy. Every one of those problems goes straight back to Reagan's presidency.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first guy ever to give a tax cut to the rich and fund it by deficit financing.
I'm glad you're making all of these points. They're all true, and you're not going to hear that on Fox News Channel or anywhere else for that matter.
I just can't believe we're not hearing it anywhere. I mean, Reagan touted his relationship with Osama bin Laden. He was so glad the rebels in Afghanistan were supporting him. And he did the same thing. Oh, my Lord. When he provided chemical weapons to Iraq to defeat Iran, he turned around and sold weapons to Iran and took that money and funded the Contra rebels in Nicaragua who were defeating the Sandinistas, who was the only democratically elected government Nicaragua ever had.
Yeah.
The excitement when we got back into the U-boats was terrific. I was on night shift and somebody came running and said, "We're back into the U-boats." And it was the one that was meant we were going to be able to go on getting into the U-boats. So that was terrific. And somebody came running and said, "We're back into the U-boats."
Daily settings were on their way to the Admiralty and America.
Don't all qualify for the same, I think, kind of... You know, the problem with it is that it's censorship from the left, which I for one, wasn't expecting. You know, we sort of get used to the fact that more conservative regimes in various places around the world try to do a lot to control the way we think and speak, but we don't expect it from our liberal democracies so much.
Fungus under the fingernails of two digits on your right hand.
truly want to help people become healthier. But you also need to understand that we need to accept responsibility for and continually educate ourselves about health. It is important that we deal with the problem and learn to take responsibility for our own health. I have learned that healthy or sick, you probably fall into the high percentage of the adult population that has parasites.
So the smog alert is lifted for all you folks on the East Coast. You can look forward to 1 to 2 inches of gray snow and 3 hours of deep breathing.
Thanks, Patty.
But I ask you, is a tree made of wood?
In the past, I have had many people close to me suffer from parasites.
Obviously not. A tree is wood. It's not made of it.
Go back to jacking off to still photography. And the fucking streaming shit is fucking horrible. By the way, I said hi to you earlier, and it was a guy that wasn't you. Where's the other fucking bald guy that I said hi to at the bar? Right there?
No,
I'm
here.
Okay. That's the guy I thought you were. Sorry. Now you know. So yeah, like all the fucking internet porn, and it's always like teeny porn. Ooh, hot teen, fucking barely legal, hot 18-year-old.
Hey man, don't rankle on the teen internet porn, would you? Those 14-year-old snot-nosed little adolescent brats on the internet revived pornography, I might say. Instead of the babes category, which are the large American-breasted professional American women, I might describe them. The pros. And if there's one group of humans who have no clue why their penis may get an erection, it's American men. The losers of the lose. And of course, they do not know. They do not know. They have the tautology on the one end. Bottle of Viagra spread on cream on the other. So I personally want to thank those little snot-nosed punks who brought teen porn back into porn from whence it has been very rare since the 20s, probably. If I can believe Grandpa and the other Jews who invented pornography. The American male, the great gambler, the great risk taker of self-image, running naked through those Negro-infested streets, crying at the Job-like sky, asking plaintively, God, who the fuck am I, man? Well, let's go mug another customer. Get a quick hit of physical reality. And dream of large, precancerous, overly fatty acided, untoned, even from a gym workout, American natural or saline injected sacs on the breastbone. Kind of like Thanksgiving for Andy, wherever he may be. Talking to Marshall somewhere. Cabaret Voltaire in the sky.
Die because of them.
Of you, and there's a way to do that, but to look inside of you. And women, you need to come to peace. Start looking inside of you, and there's a way to do that, but to look inside of you, to find it. And men, you too need to come to peace with your masculine energy. Many of you fall into two camps. On one hand, you defend your maleness. You know what's it to you? I know what it is to be a man. I don't need anybody telling me what it is to be a man. You've got it, then. By the very fact that you exist, you know what it is to be a man. So you aren't going to hear it from anybody. You aren't going to listen or learn anything. Oh, no. I've got it together. I'm a man, and what's it to you? And say, if you don't like it, then, you know, something's screwed up in your relationship with your father, eh? Unless there's something perverse in your mentality or something's wrong with you. You can't accept me for who I am, man that I am.
Does this surprise you still when you hear, say, the language that's used on The Sopranos? Other HBO shows. That it, you know, because the language that you...
We'll be back in 1 minute with a fascinating demonstration by members of the Royal Swedish Leather Belt and Whip Corps opening tonight at the Winter Palace Theater.
And I'll be having...
Never say I'm broadcasting, and that
yes.
You still can't say I'm broadcasting.
Girl chat with our leader, Madame Olga, about her private impressions on American men.
That was Clint.
Hi, this is Ethan. Thanks for listening... Hi, Ethan. Thanks for Ethan. Hi, listening. Hi, Ethan. Hi. Hi, this is Ethan.
Hi, this is Ethan from the defunct radio show And It's Only Dark. Thanks for listening to The Mountain Stream.
You can say on cable, and now you can say it on satellite radio, which is where
yes.
Howard Stern is moving, where Opie and Anthony have already mm-hmm. moved. So, I mean, there are two different sets of standards.
And so, if that were to happen, that would, in some sense, many people feel that would be a bad thing as a social goal, as a normative goal that we're trying to approach.
And we always say we want democracy, but we want democracy with politicians we like.
Absolutely.
Which is what we've just done in Iraq. We appoint the government.
Yeah, he's...
Like anybody in Iraq is going to go, oh, isn't that great? We're free now. The Americans chose our government. They came in, they bombed us, and then they told us who the new government is.
Mm-hmm. Never in history has a democracy been imposed from without. It has always been achieved through revolution from within. And that's exactly what happened in Russia, by the way. If anybody mm-hmm. wants to debate that, I'm happy to.
surprise you to hear language coming from your television like that.
Yeah.
Coming from your television like that.
At first, it did when it was in dramas, but it quickly, you know, that moment was over very, very quickly. The interesting thing about it for me is this is how people talk. Not everyone, of course, but a significant number of people use these words all the time.
Results will probably tell us it's a Kaposi sarcoma lesion. And you have a pronounced swelling of glands in your neck, groin, and armpits. Lymphadenopathy is another sign. And you have oral candidiasis. And maybe a little more fungus under the fingernails of two digits on your right hand. So, that's why I'm...
This disease...
Syndrome.
Whatever. It afflicts mostly homosexuals and drug addicts.
Mostly. Hemophiliacs are also at risk.
Homosexuals and drug addicts. So why are you implying that I... What are you implying, Henry?
I don't think I was implying anything.
I'm not a drug addict.
Oh, come on, Roy.
What? Come on, Roy, what? You think I'm a junkie, Henry? Do you see tracks?
This is absurd.
So say it.
Say what?
Say Roy Cohn, you are a...
Roy.
You are a... Come on. Not Roy Cohn, you are a drug fiend. Roy Marcus Cohn, you are a... Go on, Henry, it starts with an H.
Oh, I'm not going to get into...
With an H, Henry, and it isn't hemophiliac. Come on!
Why are you doing this, Roy?
No, I mean it. Say it. Say, Roy Cohn, you are a homosexual. And I will proceed systematically to destroy your reputation and your practice and your career in the state of New York, Henry. Which you know I can do.
Roy, you have been seeing me since 1958. Apart from the facelifts, I have treated you for everything from syphilis...
From a whore in Dallas?
From syphilis to venereal warts in your rectum, which you may have gotten from a whore in Dallas. But it wasn't a female whore.
So say it.
Roy Cohn, you are... You have had sex with men. Many, many times, Roy. And one of those men, or any number of them, has made you very sick. You have AIDS.
AIDS. You know, your problem, Henry, is that you are hung up on words. On labels that you believe they mean what they seem to mean. AIDS, homosexual, gay, lesbian. You think these are names that tell you who someone sleeps with? They don't tell you that.
No.
No. Like all labels, they tell you one thing only. Where does an individual so identified fit in the food chain? In the pecking order. Not ideology or sexual taste, but something much simpler. Clout. Not who I fuck... Or who fucks me, but who will pick up the phone when I call? Who owes me favors? This is what a label refers to. Now, to someone who does not understand this, homosexual is what I am because I have sex with men. But really, this is wrong. Homosexuals are not men who sleep with other men. Homosexuals are men... who in 15 years of trying cannot pass a pissant anti-discrimination bill through city council. Homosexuals are men who know nobody and who nobody knows, who have zero clout. Does this sound like me, Henry?
No.
No. I have clout. Lots. I pick up this phone. I punch 15 numbers. You know who's on the other end? In under 5 minutes, Henry.
The president.
Better, Henry. His wife.
I'm impressed.
I don't want you to be impressed. I want you to understand. This is not sophistry. And this is not hypocrisy. This is reality. I have sex with men, but unlike nearly every other man of whom this is true, I bring the guy I'm screwing to the White House. And President Reagan smiles at us and shakes his hand. Because what I am is defined entirely by who I am. Roy Cohn is not a homosexual. Roy Cohn is a heterosexual man, Henry, who fucks around with guys.
Okay, Roy.
And what is my diagnosis, Henry?
You have AIDS, Roy.
No. Henry, no. AIDS is what homosexuals have. I have liver cancer.
Well, whatever the fuck you have, it's very serious. And I haven't got a damn thing for you. The NIH in Bethesda has a new drug called AZT, with a 2-year waiting list that not even I can get you onto. So pick up the phone, Roy, and dial the 15 numbers, and tell the First Lady that you need in on an experimental treatment for liver cancer. Because you can call it any damn thing you want, Roy, but what it boils down to is very bad news.
Tomorrow night. And don't think that's not impossible. It's very fucking possible. I've had it with you guys. I'll give each one of you motherfuckers a cutting salary before I get out of this fucking room.
A little boy, I was told to look up to, because it was just, there was the Second World War, I was born in 1937, I was taught to look up. Soldiers and sailors, that's the only words you really used for the armed forces. Soldiers and sailors, policemen, of course, and athletes. To develop a little more later. But these are the people you should model yourself after. These are the paragons of American value and virtue.
Paul Krasner, the social critic and Lenny's longtime friend, makes the point well.
A lot of the comedians today don't even know how much of a pioneer Lenny was. Opening doors for their careers. But his legacy is that people don't get busted for using profanity on stage now.
What else do you apologize for? You go to the other extreme and you see the horrors and the injustices of machismo, the image, and chauvinism. And you're apologetic. I'm sorry. I decided to be born a man. I'm sorry.
We all know how they talk. We all know how those three groups talk. The
But first, this message.
אחד האורחים במקרה ישפוך או ישבור משהו, הוא לא ירגיש כל כך רע.
בסדר, but couldn't you have spilled some white wine instead of the red wine?
For those of you who have never been to a Shabbos meal, I'll explain the rules. First, we sing. Then we drink. Then we wash our hands. Then we eat. Very simple, no? Enjoy yourself. Feel at home. And welcome to our family. We start on page 3. Shalom aleichem, malachei hashare, malachei el elyon. Mim melech, malachei hamlachim,
Is a mountain made of rock? Obviously not. It is rock. See, our language contains innumerable ghosts.
Terrible. Men are awful. They're disgusting. I'll never be like them. Some of your mothers told you don't ever grow up to be like your father. And you said, okay, mommy, not realizing puberty would hit. And therefore you go through life apologizing, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Men are terrible, aren't they? Disgusting, etc. Ah, oh, being strong, being powerful, being providing, protecting. Oh, how terrible. I'm not going to be any of those things. And you turn into little boy men. Little wimps. Yeah? constantly apologizing. Oh, I'm sorry for taking up space. I'm sorry for breathing. Little wilted flowers. Waiting, wanting to be plucked. You fall into those categories far too often, and very few of you really stop, men, and look at what masculine energy is and start owning it. Not something that's yours by right. Not something that your gender dictates. See, that's the mistake you make. You think because of your gender you automatically know, or because of your gender you have to apologize for being so terrible. Rather than because you are a human being, there is energy here that you need to come to grips with, that you need to make friends with, that you need to begin to understand. The mistake women make is assuming that because they can have babies, they know how to be mothers. And many of you who have done that know exactly what we're talking about. You got pregnant. That wasn't too difficult. And then all of a sudden you became a mother and you went through what many women are the postpartum depression. Because, oh my God, I'm supposed to know how to do this now. Because I'm a female, because I've given birth, automatically I'm now a mother and I'm supposed to know all the answers. How to raise children totally and wonderfully. Sons, daughters, I know nothing about either. And many make the mistake of because you have something between your legs, you think that that makes you somehow automatically an expert on being a man. And it's sad because you lose so very much of misunderstanding the male energy. And if you would stop and look at it and really start valuing that energy, not because you're a man, but because it's there to within you to have that touch, that masculine thing. So often, you seek those energies through the women in your life. First as a boy, you seek it through mother. And then as an adolescent, you seek it through girlfriends or whoever you're going to finally invite to the prom. And then as a young man, you seek it through trying to find meaning, trying to find understanding, trying to do all those things that are the masculine energy through a woman. That's constantly defending or denying yourself. The power that's in you. And therefore each, all of you, regardless of your gender, need to begin to understand what that masculine energy is and to see its beauty, its vulnerability, its power. The other side, of course, is the feminine energy, yes? The feminine energy, or the, yes, the feminine, perhaps we'll leave it at that. Feminine. Many people spell that feminine. Feminine. And there are qualities similarly that begin with the first chakra, begin with the security. And the first energy that is feminine in all of you is the energy of imagining, of feeling, and of desiring. That part of you that desires, regardless of your gender, is feminine. That part of you that can tip your head or look up at somewhat of an angle and imagine a world different than the one you have. That part of you that can feel at will, who can feel by thinking, who can feel. That's the feminine side of you. And the basis of your security, the basis of your physical security, comes through that imagining, feeling, and desiring. And that is the first energy.
Now let's say Tel Aviv is our brain. But what's a brain without a soul? Without Jerusalem? And Gaza is our small intestine, and Hebron is our heart.
Hello? Mike, another cup of coffee for you?
Oh, no thanks, honey. I've had enough.
How about you, George?
No thanks, darling. I've had enough, too.
How about you, Jim?
No thanks, baby. I'm full up.
What seems to be the matter, Kathy?
Well, Dr. Gunnison, I've been living with the guys for almost 2 months now, and everything's worked out wonderfully, except...
Yeah?
They don't want it anymore, Dr. Gunnison.
Don't want what, child?
My coffee. They're tired of my coffee.
Oh, well, it's been pretty clear that your coffee lacks zest appeal.
Zest appeal? What's that?
That's the secret ingredient in Ersatz Brothers coffee, yeah. A blend of the finest Brazilian coffee beans, Chilean chicory nuts, and Spanish flies. Here, take this can home with you, Kathy.
Well, all right. I'll try it.
Well, boys, would you like another cup of coffee?
Olé!
Musically, this is vocal music, clear and obvious in a literary sensibility.
The athletes and the police. And that to hear police shows all these years and war movies all these years without the sort of language they were using immediately branded them as inauthentic to me. I could get past it and suspend my disbelief from time to time with compelling writing or scenes or something, but
I don't want fucking, give me hot old, like, tired old 31-year-old fucking divorcee whore porn. I look at a picture of a teeny girl in a fucking dressed up like a cheerleader, and I know she'd say something stupid right in the middle of it.
Actually, I thought that's not what he would say.
Supposing I say the lightning flashes. Surely the flashing is the same as the lightning. There is not one thing called lightning and another called flashing. The lightning is the flashing. It is raining. What is this it that is raining? The raining. I can make a noun out of a verb any time by turning it into a gerund. So we populate the world with ghosts, which arise out of the structure of our language, and thus, therefore, of the structure of our thinking, because we think in language or in figuring in numbers. And so it's an intensely fascinating investigation to find out what are the hidden assumptions that underlie language and figuring. In other words, language and mathematics. And here is this basic assumption, you see, that is almost with us all. It comes again and again into our everyday speech, that form, pattern, organization, organisms are made of something. As if there were some inert, primordial, and of course stupid stuff which had to be put into shape by an energy and an intelligence other than the stuff. Like the intelligence of the potter shapes the clay. So therefore, we have a basic picture of the world in which everything is being pushed around. There's a boss. There's somebody in charge who is different from what that somebody is in charge of and puts everything into shape. Because our common sense does not allow that things shape themselves. Very odd. In Chinese, the word for nature is Ziran, which is that which is so of itself, the spontaneous. The Chinese have no difficulty in thinking about nature as self-shaping. A Chinese child would not ask its mother, "How was I made?" It would ask its mother, how did I grow? It would be quite different, you see. So to be made is to be commanded. And therefore, every good being obeys. Whether you obey God, or whether you obey the laws of nature, you obey.
You obey the laws of nature, or whether you obey God, being obeys every good. And therefore, is to be commanded, so to be made.
So to be made is to be commanded. And therefore, every good being obeys. Whether you obey God, or whether you obey the laws of nature, you obey. And the analog, therefore, of the world that has been put into our common sense is one of military command. Note that. Because the image of God, I would go further and say the idolatrous image of God, which has been handed down to us, is one of the beneficent tyrant, the boss. Big Papa.
Big Papa.
Big Papa.
Big Papa.
I think it's great. I'm so glad you called in. We don't usually talk about politics, but it's been, it's been a goddamn week now of these accolades for Ronald Reagan taking up all the teach house. For Christ's sake, they closed the post office and the stock market today.
You know what? I'm glad they closed the post office today because I was expecting something from 97.1 in the mail.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. I'll get it tomorrow.
Okay.
But you know what? I mean, this is the sad thing. They're doing all of this because the Republicans know that they're on their absolute hind legs when it comes to what they've done with our economy, with our safety. And so suddenly, I mean, I swear to God, I would say Nancy offed him as a political move.
Yeah.
So that they could stay in power.
Yeah.
This is the scariest administration we've ever had. I'll give you one more fact about Reagan. He was the first president ever to hire an outside PR firm to sell his policies to the United States people.
Mm-hmm.
And he was followed in doing that by George Bush Sr., who hired a PR firm to sell us the Iraqi war, or the Gulf War the first time. I don't know if you remember that Gulf War. All the spending, everybody had yellow ribbons.
Right.
Ersatz Brothers Coffee with Zest Appeal. Look for the can in the plain brown can.
Okay, Ersatz!
Because it was, you know,
I worked on Steve Allen yet.
Oh, that was a weird bit.
It was a great.
But I gotta tell you what happened. Thanks, Steve. It's a dumb comment. But I did the Steve Allen show. You know, I've got a reputation for being a little irreverent at times, you know. There's some basis for it, you know. But I'm not that far out. But then again, I'm not a Lenten special by any means, you know. My manager, you know, I don't have an agency, you know, so I like he's a nice kind of Jack Sobel. He's good. He has good things. He's got heavy wrists and strength. You know, he's good. He's like a good tumble. He's got strength to run around and yell. So, we go with his show, you know, and start talking. And now they have a thing called continuity, where there are sensors, you know, from NBC, and they listen to everything that you have to do. Now, this is really a traumatic experience for me, just in the fact that if once I do the routine for somebody, now, even though I'll do a routine like verbatim from one show to another show, that gives me a semi-rationalization because I feel funny because you don't know I did the bit before. But to do the same bit for the same person twice, I don't feel like a comic anymore. Then I feel like an actor. You know, even though I created the material myself, I just feel like an actor who's reciting. So for them to say, okay, you're going to do this on the Steve Allen show, word for word, and then do it again, I just don't feel funny. So it's really bugging me. So I got 15 guys that are censors, they sit there, you know, and I'm doing the bit. Now, Steve Allen,
By the way, he's a brilliant guy, very literate. He's the only comic I know that's an excellent, serious writer. You know, he's really a heavyweight as far as intellectual is concerned. And he's got a hip sense of humor. So he's laughing, he's cracking up to everything. Now, the producer, Bill Harbach, is laughing, but he's got a little more to lose. You know? So I think he's giving these kind of laughs, like, ha, 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 Jesus. So now, I do the bit, finish it all up, you know. The guy says, okay, this, take this out, bam, bam. It's okay. 15 minutes, a lot of time, you know, in an hour show. All right, now it's about a day before, and they go through the rehearsal. So that guy comes out with continuity, you know. So anyone that's on the show, oh, yeah. He says there's a couple of things that we're going to take out, you know. I said, well, screw it. I'm not going to do the show. He goes, ah, that's always the first defensive. I said, no, it'll be different if any of my humor I can make continual scatological references. I don't do motel jokes. I don't do Shriner American Legion humor, you know? So I'm doing down things. And if any there's any objection, it's either some irreverence, which I didn't do any religious connotation jokes. You know? So just nothing can be objectionable that I'm doing. I know, you know. It's blah, 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 you know, back and forth. Now, I'm going to tell you what the objectives are, which I didn't do on the show. Remember the joke I did? I talk about the tattoo, you know, which actually I have, you know. I got a tattoo, and I got this in Malta, in the Mediterranean, 1942. And I did the joke on the show. I said, I smoked Marlboros when I was 6 years old and I grew up, you know. Funny joke, which I've done before. So now, from there, I go into, I said that because, which is a truism, because of this tattoo, I never can be buried in a cemetery. That's the orthodox scene. You have to go out of the world the way you came into the world, same bit, no changes, nothing. You know? So I come back from Malta. I came back from the Mediterranean about 1947. So I'm in my aunt's kitchen in Sutton Boulevard. This is Jamaica, you know. So I'm washing with a Roki soap, you know. So she pins the tattoo, you know. So she looks and she goes, that! It's a Jewish seagull, you know. Got those kind of ants, they talk that way on the phone. Oh, so hello, Labor! Excuse me! Gin Rummy voices. Shemanda Fair voices. So she looks and she goes, look what you did! You ruined your mom! You can't be back in a Jewish cemetery! I said, why do you nudge me? They'll cut this sword, the bread is in a Gentile cemetery. Fuck, right? Well, continuity is listening. Well, that's definitely offensive to the Jewish people. I said, where are you nuts? No, they're very sensitive, you know, them with their strange rituals and hate. I said, it's not. The truth can never be offensive. It's the truth. That's it. No, blah, blah, blah. Now it's getting back and forth, you know. So now they have a meeting. I'm standing over there like the leper. I'm waiting to put a bell on my neck, you know. In Vegas, you know. I'm not an existentialist, but I realize, you know, I'm definitely not a materialistic person, you know. They got up. It takes me $100 a week to live, you know. I got enough to live another 2 years, that's it, Daddy, you know. So the guy said, blah, blah, blah. Now, come on, now don't be a baby. You know, that's a good defense. Be a mensch, sell out. You know? So, come here, we talk it over, Lenny, and it's definitely offensive to the Gentile people, too. Oh, yes, how do you figure that? He said, well, what you're saying, in essence, is that the Gentile people don't care what they bury. I'm going to argue with you. I should do a bit to you. Maybe you can't hear something.
That's not what he
will
like. I think he would say it like this. So it's just inauthentic. It's a counterfeit representation of real life that these commercial and religious interests impose on or try to impose.
Hi, this is Ethan from the Defunct Radio Show, period. And it's only dark. Thanks for listening to the Mountain Stream.
Changing. I was 30 in 1957. The people I was entertaining were in their 40s, and they were the parents of the people who were 20, 18, in college, changing, beginning to change the nature of...
This has accelerated my search for a clear answer. I know we all agree that we cannot live in paranoia.
No, darling, I'm gay.
Did you bring them back dressed to the original place where you found them and lay them down in the sleeping position, or did you photograph them in the studio?
Oh, no, I photographed them in the studio, and then I just turned them loose, you know.
Exuberant, complex, funny, fat, touching, infuriating, lyric, and vicious. This book is America. I mean, do you think people can read this book? Read Stones? Average reader today?
I tell you, it wouldn't be published today.
No?
It wouldn't be published today.
Can you think of other examples of people putting out this big a book at such a young age? And then stopping.
Some very good books are recognized by literary people as being first rate, that don't go anywhere.
Big Papa. So then, when our physicists started to find out what stuff was, they went into it and examined it with ever more minute instruments. They started cutting up things with knives and cutting them smaller and smaller and smaller.
You turn them loose?
Yeah.
I mean, after dressing them up and making them look nice, and then you say, oh, now you can go home?
Until the particle that they wanted to dissect was exactly the same width as the edge of the knife.
Here's a little number I wrote the other day while out duck hunting with a judge.
Quack.
Fuck you very much, the FCC. Fuck you very much for fining me. $5,000 a fuck, so I'm really out of luck. That's more than Heidi Fleiss was charging me. So fuck you very much, the FCC. For proving that free speech just isn't free. Clear Channel's a dear channel, so Howard Stern must go. Attorney General Ashcroft doesn't like strong words, and so he's charging twice as much as all the drugs for Rush Limbaugh. So fuck you all so very much. So fuck you very much, dear Mr. Bush, for heroically sitting on your tush. For Halliburton, Enron, all the companies who fail. Let's send them a clear signal and stick Martha straight in jail. She's an uppity rich bitch, and at least she isn't male. So fuck you all so very much. So fuck you, dickhead Mr. Cheney too. Fuck you and fuck everything you do. Your pacemaker must be a fake. You haven't got a heart. As far as I'm concerned, you're just a pasty-faced old fart. And as for Condoleezza, she's an intellectual tart. So fuck you all so very much.
Lucky that I didn't turn out like that. I think there's a lot of that, in especially in portraits, when people looking at
I go along with that completely. I've discovered, in fact, there's quite a market selling photographs of downtrodden, really people in outrageous situations to the wealthy.
Yeah.
I've sold massive amounts of things, and this is kind of an in thing. It's not publicized much, but a number of my wealthy clients, in their studies, the walls are just filled with people in trouble.
Well, but...
Oi, as the people who are cellularly connected to my past might say, world of trouble. Wait till they bring a guy up from Paraguay for the Supreme Court. I say we got trouble in the River City. I think I really feel for those thousands of appointees in federal agencies and bureaus all over the freaking place. All positions filled by non-humans. Because that's what these macho people are. The jackboot Nazi swinging in the wind people. A very small percentage actually have a philosophy. Some buried in deep American quasi-philosophical past. I think there was a little philosophy in the past of America, but not enough to get you in too much trouble, however. Like Aaron Sorkin would portray in The West Wing occasionally the Republican. But let's not kid ourselves, Aaron. Let's not do that. There's not a lot of philosophy on the side of the king. They don't need a philosophy. At any rate, new metaphysics goes on. I got my golden parachute. The great work. Spiritual backdoor. You could get one too. Of course, this is a sort of tetchy philosophical problem wrapped in a tetchy philosophical problem. Key concept of the Matrix and beyond. Subsume self-referencing. A Blavatskyan kind of dilemma. Very simple, really. If you kiss the sky, don't get caught up in that white-coated priesthood of scientists or boy-men fucking priests. Two families of the organized crime of the Matrix. If it's too complicated to hold in your mind at one time, you've gone astray. I think that's what our mind is telling us. In fact, I'm quite sure of it. In fact, I'm absolutely certain of it. But I would never guarantee that. So we're getting on the edge of a key concept, and it's kind of like the question about jazz and the question about banks. If you don't know, there's no money in it. I can't tell you. That's where the money is. And it's a sort of a Heisenbergian dilemma, which is really a door to glorious, glorious freedom. It's the Matrix. Catches a system in flight, grabs a portion, says it's the whole thing, and forever and a day has to recreate all the king's men and all their little piglet houses, pound wood into nails, look at the ever-expanding horizon of the infinite now and feel as though there's just not enough time. But don't blame Whitey. He's just the messenger. Don't blame Garcia either. Just a little holism won't really ever get you in trouble, you know. New Metaphysics marches on like IDM music, replacing all organic matter on the planet of music genres with a facsimile. Don't fall asleep on your music, or it will turn to stone on you. You like dub? It taken away. Ambience gone. Jazzy riff. Space. Glitch. Music that has Africa in it. That's beats to you, Whitey. All life of beat deleted. I know I'm talking to dead people. Part of my own brain injected with cortisone facsimile of same. Dead. Rest in peace. So watch out. Grab your parachute, my friends. Ask Ralph. Ralph is quickly grabbing on to Noam for title of, what's that phrase? I forget now. I'm a little remiss in the masculine. Otherwise known as naming names. American Treasure, I believe it's called. So forget the Matrix. Forget the Killing Floor. Apply the key concept. Which is the same as having the key concept apply you. Of course, one little problem here is there is nowhere to go. It is a movable feast. Step down as though it was there. Apply any of the 7 types of magic. And the key concept, which will forever be beyond the grasp of the Matrix, so don't worry about being caught from behind. If you did worry about it, you can gradually release your grip. I know I'm trying.
The exact opposite, in a sense, is true, too. You'll go into these shacks and these tenements and these flats, and you'll see pictures of cut from magazines of very wealthy people with cars and mansions and so on, all almost as though the picture has a magic power or something we haven't really discussed.
Easier for the powers that be to show a black as a homosexual rather than a white character as a homosexual.
Ashoka, the security. The second energy that is feminine energy. The second energy that is feminine energy deals similarly with form and context. But what happens here is that feminine energy gathers content to force form to create context. Feminine energy gathers content, the pieces of information, the pieces of data that are significant, that are important, the product of brainstorming, gathering content. And I'm going to gather content for the purpose of forcing form. But when I gather all the content, the form will somehow evolve out of it. To turn and to go back to our office example, where in the masculine energy you're told, type this and then to check this and then give that to so-and-so, or do function A and then check it with function B and do function C. Form that forces content. Content says, look, we've got to get from here to there. Now, what's the best way to do it? Let's gather the content. Let's figure out what we want to accomplish, where we are and where we want to go. And that will somehow force a way of getting there. Content that forces form, as opposed to form that forces content. And both work. There are times in your life where indeed you will create a form in which to function, and that will force the content of your life. There are other times that you will gather the content of your life, and that will depict or dictate the form that you put it in. One is to fill the context or the space, the other, the latter, is to create the space. Feminine energy creates the space by gathering content, forcing form, and thus creates space. The third energy is the energy of giving and receiving. The energy of giving and receiving both. The energy of creating and allowing yourself to be created, which is a tremendously vulnerable position. To nurture and to be nurtured. To nurture and to be nurtured. Think of nurturing. You think of feeding a child. It's nurturing. No, not necessarily. You can feed a child to protect and provide instinctively. Here's your peanut butter and jelly, kid. That's providing. Even in that sensing, new mothers nursing. To nurse a child, to provide food, to do so with love, to do so with caring, to do so with an emotional content is to nurture. To throw a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on the table is to provide food. To make that sandwich and to cut it in a way and to put it on a plate with a sense of love and a sense of caring and a sense of, I want this to you to like this and to be pleased with this, that's nurturing. To nurture. But also to be nurtured. To be nurtured is a feminine vulnerable power. To let somebody else take care of you. Now. To let someone take care of me, that's what I've been trying to do all my life. Look how feminine I've been. What's your intent, you see? Your intent is not to be nurtured. Your intent is to manipulate. Your intent is to control. Your intent is to be a victim or a martyr or a self-pitying person, a self-important person, a better-than person. It's not to be nurtured. And therein lies the difference where one, male or female, can sit whining their life away, sitting on the bench of life waiting for Godot to come along and make their life work, which has nothing to do with being nurtured, has everything to do with being manipulative, being controlling, and being in charge of other people. Victims are never the weak ones. Or indeed, you can in your life give people the most supreme gift of letting them take care of you, letting them nurture you. As you nurture them, turn around and let them nurture you.
People putting out this big a book at such a young age, and then stopping.
Some very good books are recognized by literary people as being first rate, that don't go anywhere. Now, who knows? You know, a lot of things can happen. People have nervous breakdowns after doing a long work. That's quite common.
In fact, you were one of the examples that didn't write something for a long time, but you made your way back, you know?
Yeah, I did. It was a long trip, but just speaking personally, my first book, I finished it when I was 29. I started working on it when I was 25. It got unbelievable reviews, just to die for, these reviews. It sold 7,000 copies.
And then how long to your second book?
A long time. 15 years. I had to make a living. I had kids. I had 7,000 copies for 4.5 years' work. I made, you know, how many dollars did I make? I don't know. But I had kids by this time. I was married. So I went to work as a piano player, a fisherman, did a lot of things like that to make a living. Now,
did you keep writing or were you discouraged?
I couldn't. You know, the idea of playing the piano to support my writing was a terrific idea, except I was a jazz pianist and I had a quartet and I played three sets a night. And finishing at 2 o'clock, dripping wet. I mean, you know, hey, I just couldn't do it. I didn't have the energy to do all of it. So I did some writing, yes. I did journalism. I did this, that, and the other thing. But it was all sort of, every writer has to do this. In fact, Updike recently said, maybe we shouldn't, maybe it shouldn't be living at all. Maybe it should just be a hobby. And he did not mean to demean writing when he said just a hobby. But what he's saying is, of course, that in this culture, it's so extraordinarily difficult to do serious work and to get paid for it enough to keep body and soul together. The sacrifices are enormous.
Crossfire, as both of our loyal viewers, of course, know, our show is all about left versus white, black versus white, paper versus plastic, Red Sox against the Yankees. That's why every day we have two guests with their own unique perspective on the news. But today, Crossfire is very different. We have just one guest. He's either the funniest smart guy on TV or the smartest funny man. We'll find out which in a minute. But he's certainly an Emmy Award winner, the host of Comedy Central's Daily Show, and the co-author of the new mega bestseller, America the Book, A Citizen's Guide to In Action, at your bookstores everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Crossfire, John Stewart.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Very kind of you to say. Now what, can I say something very quickly? Why do we have to fight? The two of you? Can't we just say something nice about John Kerry right now?
I like John. I care about John Kerry.
And something about President Bush.
He'll be unemployed soon.
I made the effort anyway.
No, actually, I knew Bush in Texas a little bit. And truth is, he's actually a great guy. He's not a very good president, but he's actually a very good person. I don't think you should have to hate to oppose somebody, but it mm-hmm. makes it easier.
Why do you argue, the two of you? I hate to see it.
We enjoy it.
Let me ask you a question first. All right.
Is John Kerry really the best? I mean, I think, you know, John Kerry's done terrible
jobs. Lincoln was good.
Is he the best the Democrats can do?
Is he the best the Democrats can do this year? I'd always thought in a democracy, and again, I don't know, I've only lived in this country, that there's a process, what do they call them, primaries.
Right.
And they don't always go with the best, but they go with whoever won. So is he the best according to the process?
Right, but of the nine guys running, who do you think was best? Do you think he was the best? The most impressive?
The most impressive?
Yeah.
I thought Al Sharpton was very impressive. I enjoyed his way of speaking. I think oftentimes the person that knows they can't win is allowed to speak the most freely, and because otherwise shows with titles such as Crossfire, or Hardball, or I'm gonna kick your ass, or we'll jump on it. In many ways, it's funny, you know. And I made a special effort to come on the show today because I have privately amongst my friends and also in occasional newspapers and television shows mentioned this show as being bad. I felt that wasn't fair, and I should come here and tell you that I don't. It's not so much that it's bad as it's hurting America. So I wanted to come here today and say... Here's just what I wanted to tell you guys.
Yeah.
Stop. Stop hurting America.
Okay, now...
Come work for us, because we, as the people...
How do you pay?
The people, not well.
Better than CNN.
But you can sleep at night. See, the thing is, we need your help. Right now, you're helping the politicians and the corporations, and we're left out there to mow our lawns.
You just said we're too rough on them when they make mistakes.
No, you're not too rough on them. You are part of their strategies. You're partisan, what do you call it, hacks.
Understand that, but I do understand it. Just like it's more easy to us to have the sitcoms and situation comedies on television and not the serious dramas about our lives. But a lot of things can be said through comedy.
Would you please get out of my face, you sorry looking faggot?
Who are you calling sorry looking?
Can't you all see that she ain't funny? She's just another poor example of how the system has her destroying our men.
Honey, I am more man than you'll ever be, and more woman than you'll ever get.
All right.
Who killed JFK?
25 words or less?
Yes.
Was this country western music on when you got here?
Yes, sir.
This is what killed you, now, the country western music.
Hello. I'm Don Corleone of Corleone Political Consulting.
What do you get when you play a country western song backwards?
What?
You get your wife back, your job back, and your dog back.
Going to the marketplace in this area of France is an incredible experience because you know that it's something that's been done every week for hundreds of years.
Hey, can you switch that channel off?
All they got on here is sitcoms and news magazines.
Now, yes, but soon, very soon, there's going to be like 500 channels. Besides the sports channel, the weather channel, there'll be the ballet channel, the dog food channel, the old dreidel network. There won't be any books or newspapers, no telephones. We'll only be able to communicate with email and QVC. We'll all be interactive. All you need to see and hear, you'll see and hear without ever having to rise from your Sealy Posturepedic. I'm talking about high definition. I'm talking about virtual reality. I'm talking about living in the fast lane, the electronic information superhighway. You better get ready, because it's coming.
Blunt your magic twanger, Froggy.
This is a blockbuster.
You pay that SOB, I'll break his back.
This is a bombshell.
Activate the remote.
Everything man does is a conspiracy.
Please, we can get along here. We all can get along.
Well, whose back were you going to break?
I give his speech. I don't even know what he's talking about, and I don't know what you're talking about.
Marilyn Monroe is dead. Apparently from the of sleeping.
You used to work for the CIA.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas.
We must act today in order to preserve tomorrow.
The new frontier of which I speak is not a set of promises.
JFK was shaking up the status quo, and the status quo struck back.
With holes punched through in an alphabetical grid representing the wheel positions that could produce females. By lining the sheets over each other, the codebreakers could hunt through the wheel positions to find out how the Enigma had been set up for that day.
They were John Jeffries. They were really his rather special baby. And they were on sort of cartridge weight paper, not very thick card. They got very dog-eared. And as far as I remember, they were two alphabets, that way and that way. It was like solving a very difficult crossword puzzle. You could actually see it happening.
And so they got an atom. And that word in Greek, atomos, means the non-cuttable. Non-tomos cuttable. That's the basic atom. What you can't cut anymore, because you've got down to the end. Well, they weren't satisfied with that. So they got an atomos, in other words, a particle of something or other that was just the same width as the blade of the knife edge, and they looked at it under a microscope. And they saw that it was seemed to be composed of more small particles. So they found out means of working those out, and then they found out extraordinary means of investigating the properties of matter. Then they reached a point where they couldn't decide whether it was particles or whether it was waves. So they called them wavicles.
What do you want?
I
want you to fuck me, hurt me, make me bleed.
I want to.
Yeah?
I want to hurt you.
Fuck me.
Yeah?
Hard.
Yeah, you've been a bad boy.
Very bad. Very bad.
You need to be punished, boy?
Yes, I do.
Yes, what? Yes, what, boy?
Oh, yes, sir.
I want you to take me to your place, boy.
No, I can't do that.
No what?
No, sir, I can't. I don't live alone, sir.
Your lover know you're out with a man tonight, boy?
No, sir, my lover doesn't know.
Your lover know you
like...
Let's
change the subject, okay? Can we go to your place?
I live with my parents.
Oh.
Society to a great extent. So I sided more with them because I was anti-authority, and I just let myself revert to my deferred adolescence and be one of them in terms of my work, rather than these people I really disliked who I was entertaining, these 40-year-old plus people. So that's how my comedy has changed. The times were safer, and I was a safer mainstream comic in the 60s, and then I became this other person who was a little more honest and open with language and his thughts, you know.
Well, I'll
do this briefly for you. I had always been this lawbreaker, outlaw type kid and adolescent and Air Force guy, as you pointed out. Never stuck by the rules, always swimming against the tide. But I had a mainstream dream, and my dream was to be like Danny Kaye in the movies, or to be like Bob Hope in the movies. So I never put those two things together. I never saw that they didn't go together. And I followed this other dream in the way that you did, because the only way you could do it was to please people with mainstream safe comedy. That's what the period demanded and got. So I did that until the two became, it became an untenable situation. I could no longer be myself inside and serve these other things. And when I saw the mix, when I saw the mistake, I went about correcting it in a slow and orderly manner. It took about 2 or 3 years for my change, as it were, to take place.
My mother told me not to come to Israel. That only reason Jews bring so many Russians to Israel is to do dirty job that Arabs won't do because of fighting. There was this girl from Minsk who would do anything for money, and I mean anything. So when foreign worker from Romania asked to masturbate in my hair for extra 50 shekel, I sent him to Lena. Next day, Lena has nervous breakdown. Men in Middle East are primitive and stupid. They treat women like dogs, worse than dogs. I hope the Jews and Arabs kill each other until nobody left. In 3 months, when I get passport back, I put American dollars in bag, fly home to Ukraine, meet nice boy, fall in love, have family, like it never happened.
Where'd those come from?
Good question.
You know, they came from a PR firm that was hired to sell us the war. These people are scary, and they lie to us. And they create problems that last for generations, and they never, it's Teflon, they never get the blame.
Eisenhower was the president, although it may have been JFK.
He's still working in that store in Ventura? He's still going with...
No, that's not fair. I know I haven't been the very best of dads. I'll hold my hand up there. But the reason that I'm writing is I'd like for us to meet, get a little daughter-dad action going soon. We could put things behind us, eat some pizza, drink some beer. You still see your sister, Lemley? Bring her, too.
Here's a silence, not enough.
But I don't want to talk about any of that bad stuff. Why I missed out on your wedding and your high school graduation. I'd like to explain, but I can't. So let's keep things neutral. Stick to topics that won't bug us. How about this? Let's choose a book and we'll read it before we meet. Then we can sit down in a restaurant, have a look at the menu, and talk about it while we eat. See, if we never had a problem, that's what life would be like. Easy, uncomplicated, cool. So let's just pretend that the past didn't happen. I don't really like thrillers as well. I don't want to know if I've got grandchildren. No need to tell me where I went wrong. I don't want to know what happened in your 30s. You want to try Cold Mountain? Nor is that too long.
Years of silence, not enough. Who could blame us? Given up. Above the quiet, there's a buzz. That's me trying.
That's me trying.
How many times recently have you heard about Delta Force raids on, U.S. chemical companies in New York or U.S. banks in New York or Boston and so on? If not, why not? It's well known that they're involved in narco trafficking, heavily involved. In the 1980s, the CIA published a report, in fact, on chemical exports from the United States to Latin America, pointing out that they're way in excess of industrial needs, and that the ones that are sent are the ones, the kind that are used for a production of drugs. So what about that?
This is KWKWT TV, Channel 1, River Rat Heights, Kansas. At the tone, the time will be 11 a.m.
Hey, kids, what time is it?
It's Gum Drop time!
That's right, and here he comes now down the licorice stick gangplank of the good ship Gum Drop. It's Sailor Bill!
Hi, Gumdroppers.
Hi, Sailor Bill.
The crew, the camera crew, is a little happier than usual today, eh? What have you been dropping, fellas? Now, I know why Charlie's laughing. It's his anniversary today, eh? How many years has it been, Charlie? 17 years, that's wonderful. I hope your kids should live so long. And now, before we see our first cartoon, let's visit the wonderful world of cartel toys with a lovely surprise for all you girls and boys.
to metaphysics. Anything can be healed, despite what they tell you, or what we've come to subliminally believe from what they've, from what we've told ourselves. And it's not that hard. If you can write it down on paper, you can burn it in a metal basket. And anything can change. Like TV. This means lots more than the logic train of what I'm saying. Goes all the way there and then begins to really go, you know,
revolution in Washington, Joe. We have a new agenda, and finally, a real leader. Yeah, they got back the Senate, but we have the courts. By the 90s, the Supreme Court will be block-solid Republican appointees in the federal bench. Republican judges like landmines everywhere, everywhere they turn. Affirmative action? Take it to court. Boom! Landmine.
Roy, how you feeling?
Oh, I'm fine.
And we'll get our way on just about everything. Abortion, defense, Central America, family values, a live investment climate. We have the White House locked till the year 2000 and beyond. A permanent fix on the Oval Office? It's possible.
Now, I understand you're not going to vote in the election.
I don't vote, no.
You don't vote. How come no. You don't vote?
Well,
I mean, you have pretty strong opinions about
yes.
American culture.
But I see there's an ownership class in this country, and there is no real choice. The Republicans and Democrats offer.
Strong opinions about
yes.
American culture.
But I see there's an ownership class in this country, and there's no real choice. The Republicans and Democrats offer, it's a changing in the lawn furniture. You move the chairs and tables around a little bit so it looks and feels different. The people who own the country don't really want a lot of change. They allow certain things. They bend a little. Kerry, the only thing I like about the left versus the right is that the left seems to care more about people, and the right seems to care more about property as a generalization. But essentially, they cannot do what they want because everything is owned by the ownership class. They do what they want. They get what they want. And Americans deserve what they get because they're not really engaged intellectually at all. They're easily manipulated and swayed.
It's really the end of liberalism, Joe. The end of New Deal socialism, the end of ipso facto secular humanism. The dawning of a genuinely American political personality, modeled on Ronald Wilson Reagan.
That sounds great, Mr. Heller.
Martin. And justice is the hub. Especially since Ed Meese took over. He doesn't specialize in fine points of the law. He's a flatfoot. Cop.
Oh, yeah.
He reminds me of Teddy Roosevelt.
I can't wait to meet him.
Too bad, Joe. He's been dead for 60 years.
Martin.
Yes, Roy.
Rub my back.
Roy.
No, I mean it. Sore spot. I get them all the time now, these things. Come on, please. Rub it for me, darling. Do that for me. Right there. Oh. Oh, yeah. Right there. Yes. A little lower. How do you think a handful of Bolsheviks turned St. Petersburg into Leningrad in one afternoon? Comrades who do for each other. Marx and Engels, Lenin and Trotsky. Joseph Stalin and Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Comrades, right, Martin?
This man, Joe, is a saint of the right.
Oh, I know, Mr. Heller.
See what I mean? He's special. Many?
Don't embarrass him, boy.
Gravity, decency, smarts. His strength is as the strength of 10 because his heart is pure. And he's a roy boy. 100%.
We're on the move, Joe. On the move.
Mr. Heller, I'd really...
We can't wait any longer for an answer.
Oh.
Joe's a married man, boy.
Uh-huh.
With a wife. She does not care to go to D.C., and so Joe cannot go. Keeps us dangling. We've seen that kind of thing before, haven't we? These men and their wives?
Oh, yes. Beware.
I really can't discuss this.
Then don't discuss. Say yes, Joe.
Now.
Say yes, I will.
Now.
Think of it again in terms of a game with children. Often the situation can be seen more clearly, though it's not necessarily more clear. When you were a kid and your mother was sick, yeah, it scared you sometimes. Is she gonna die? Kids think in absolute terms. But now you get to fix breakfast for mother, eh? Wow. She's always fixing it for me, and now I get to do it for her. No matter what mess you make, there's something very wonderful about doing that. It's a wonderful gift to be able to give, eh? To give, to nurture. And it's the most wonderful thing to let someone nurture you. To let someone do for you. Not all the time, but to let someone do for you. And that is a feminine energy. That is a feminine energy, to allow someone to nurture you as well as being nurturing. Now notice, we did not say that the feminine energy is receiving and being created and being nurtured, period. It is the dynamic combination of giving and receiving, creating and being created, nurturing and being nurtured, in the fullness of that, not in the limited scope, in the limited sense. The fourth quality is the ability to create, the ability to act, the ability to manifest. Not the action, not the creation, not the manifestation, but the ability to do those things. The ability, without having to demonstrate that ability. That's the feminine energy. The demonstration is the masculine. The feminine is power, the ability to act. Creativity, the ability to create. The ability to manifest is feminine energy. Being able to. And that's the origin of all existence, is it not? Before you can act, you must have the ability to act. Before you can create, you must have the ability to create. Before you can manifest, you must have the ability to manifest. Feminine energy is the original energy. But through its ability, generates the masculine energy, which then creates itself dynamically. Fifthly, a most gentle and powerful energy, allowing perception. Allowing perception. Not making it, not forcing it, not pushing it, letting it. Allowing perception. And sixthly, is the balance. The balancing of all things. And finally is the being. The state of being, the beingness that is feminine energy, not woman, feminine energy. And here again, the beautiful, beautiful energies, to what extent in your own vibration, to what extent in your own vibration do you take time to feel and imagine and a desire? And let that be a valuable part of your process, not just dismissing it as a preliminary step that must be gotten through to get to the real stuff, but to really value the fact that you can imagine that you've got a brain that can imagine? Do you even stop to think how miraculous that is? That the lower reptilian energies and the mammalian energies do not have that capacity? You can't imagine what it's like to be one of those without imagination. That's how integrally it is a part of you. You can't even imagine what reality would be without imagination. It's impossible to imagine it. But you have the function of imagination, which is the holographic synergy of your brain. The whole that is greater than the sum of the parts, greater than the reticular, limbic, and cortex and frontal lobes that make up the brain. The scientists at one time wanted to divide in these little segments and now realize is a holographic whole where every portion does everything if necessary. If your brain isn't segmented off, that it's a whole that is greater than the sum of the parts. Your brain is a synergistic function of its components, and it's out of that synergy that arises that function of imagination, and you are the only creatures that can really do that. Really do that at will. At will. Do you appreciate that you can function that way, that you can imagine? And that out of that imagination can come feelings? If you would stop and think about that, you know, you can sit there and you can imagine something and you can get sad. Or you can get happy. Or your adrenaline can start flowing. Or you can get warm or cold. Or your body will respond. Your heart rate, your breathing, all the autonomic functions of your body will respond to what you imagine and what you feel. Do you realize how incredible that is? And out of that you can desire. Pulling your imagination, your feelings together to create a desire. The core of creating your reality. And all of that is your feminine side. Not your womanliness, ha-ha, we're ahead of you men, we knew it. But your feminineness. And similarly, as you work with it and as you look at it, in terms of the ability to gather content, to brainstorm, to put together ideas. Let's see, there's this, this, and this. I don't know how it's going to fit together, but this, this, and this. The part of you that constantly stops and says, no, we've got to have a form, we've got to have a form. No, let's forget form for a while. Let's just brainstorm. Let's forget logic. That's form. Logic is form. Let's be illogical. Let's say we can do anything we want. Let's say we create it all and see where that leads us. That's your feminine side that gathers content and then out of it creates form so as to create the space. Create the space in which to function. And then the part of you that can give and also receive, can love and be loved. Many of you won't love because you're so terrified of being loved. Many of you won't give because you're so terrified of receiving. So many of you won't nurture because you're terrified of being nurtured. But those qualities within you, that power, that strength that is so subtly stated in that statement, to nurture and to be willing to be nurtured. To hold somebody and to be willing to be held by somebody. How many of you in this huggy-feely new age hug but will not let yourself be hugged? How many of you hug but won't be hugged? Will hold 1 or 10 or 20 people you know or don't even know but will not be held by anybody?
Turning blue, waiting. Now.
God
damn it.
Calm down.
Here, fuck it. Came today. Read.
Boy, this is terrible.
You're telling me. New York State Bar Association, Mark. They're going to try and disbar me.
Oh, my.
Why?
Why, Mark?
Revenge.
The whole establishment. Their little rules, because I know no rules. Because I don't see the law as a dead and arbitrary collection of antiquated dictums. Thou shalt not. Because I know the law is a pliable, breathing, sweating organ.
Because?
Because he borrowed $500,000 from one of his clients.
There's that.
And he forgot to return it.
Roy, that's... You borrowed money from a client?
I'm deeply ashamed.
Roy, you know how much I admire you and... Well, I mean, I know you have your unorthodox ways, but I'm sure you only did what you thought you needed to do at the time, and I have faith
that... Not so damp, please. I'll deny it was a loan. She has no paperwork, can't prove a fucking thing.
Boy, I really appreciate your telling me this, and I'll do whatever I can to help.
I'll tell you what you can do. I'm about to be tried, Joe, by a jury that is not a jury of my peers. This disbarment committee... Genteel gentlemen, Brahmin lawyers, country club men. I offend them. To these men, I'm what, Martin? What would you say, some sort of filthy little Jewish troll?
Oh, well, I wouldn't go so far as...
Well, I would. Very fancy lawyers, these disbarment committee lawyers. Fancy lawyers with fancy corporate clients and complicated cases. Antitrust suits, deregulation, environmental control. Complex cases like these need Justice Department cooperation. Like flowers need the sun. When you say that was an accurate assessment, Roy?
I'm not here, Roy. I'm not hearing any of this.
No, of course you're not. Without the light of the sun, Joseph, these cases and the very fancy lawyers who represent them will wither and die. A well-placed friend, someone in the Justice Department, say, can turn off the sun, cast a deep shadow on my behalf, make them shiver in the cold if they overstep.
And I think that we make a great mistake by exaggerating. And just because we don't have anybody we respect very much in our society at this...
They thought they had come to certain ultimate wavicles called electrons. But then, unfortunately, everything fell apart and they found protons, mesons, and many other extraordinary things.
Well, you'll notice that the caller tried to credit Ronald Reagan with all this wonderful economic growth, and then when George Bush is the president, it's just a cycle.
Right. Right, it's just a downturn.
Yeah.
Well, no, it was a lot of growth. It just came out of the backs of our children.
Local and state level, those will be the pilot projects for forcing a federal overhaul to get a uniform system nationwide, like every other reasonable country in the world has.
Right.
And this is something that we can channel our efforts into. Fair and commoncause.org. We'll post both those links online at our web.
Right? You fucking, at no point during this sexual act do I want to hear anyone go, ew. Same reason I don't want to bring someone to sushi for the first time. Right? I can't get it up for the California roll anymore. I need a fucking experiment. I want a girl who puts it in her own ass, right? Doesn't even, I'm going to do something different. You know what I mean? I don't want that fucking, ew, gross.
America, I've given you all, and now I'm nothing. America, $2.27, January 17th, 1956. I can't stand my own mind. America, when will we end the human war? Go fuck yourself with your atom bomb. I don't feel good, don't bother me. I won't write my poem till I'm in my right mind. America, when will you be angelic? When will you take off your clothes? When will you look at yourself through the grave? When will you be worthy of your million Trotskyites?
Anybody we respect very much in our society at this time.
Well, I think it's more fundamental than that. I think your basic question, the fact that you, can we not sit back and with our values and totally from within our own value framework figure out whether such and such a thing is a good thing?
America, why are your libraries full of tears? America, when will you send your eggs to India? I'm sick of your insane demands. When can I go into the supermarket and buy what I need with my good looks?
$160 this year. And so there you go. We have become a fast food
nation,
and that's what America now eats. Look at this street out here that we're on, Mission.
It's all fast food
that's
stuff.
All it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's Popeyes and Kentucky Fried right alongside each other. I wonder if that's good to have Popeyes and Kentucky's alongside.
America, after all, it is you and I who are perfect, not the next world.
Let me tell you something valuable that I think we do that I'd like to see you
something
do.
Something valuable?
Do. Yeah, no. Well, yeah. It's
I would
nice
like
when,
to, I would
when
like
politicians,
to hear it.
When, and I'll tell you, when politicians come on,
yeah.
It's nice to get them to try and answer the question. And mm-hmm. In order to do that, we try and ask them pointed questions. I want to contrast our questions with some questions you asked John Kerry.
If you want to compare your show to a comedy show, you're more than welcome
to. Here's the point.
If that's your goal.
No, it's not.
I would name for us. I'd aim for
Seinfeld.
Here's the
problem.
That's a very good show.
Kerry won't come on this show. He will come on your show. Let me suggest why he wants to.
Well, we have civilized discourse.
Well, here's an example of civilized discourse. Here are three of the questions you asked, John.
Yeah.
You have a chance to interview the Democratic nominee. You ask him mm-hmm. questions such as, quote, how are you holding up? Is it hard not to take the attacks personally?
Yeah.
Have you ever flip-flopped, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah.
Didn't you feel like you got the chance to interview the guy? Why not ask him a real question instead of just suck up to him?
Yeah, how are you holding up is a real suck-up. And I actually was giving him a hot stone massage.
It sounded that way.
As we were doing it.
It did.
You know, it's interesting to hear you talk about my responsibility to the, you know, I didn't realize that, and maybe this explains quite a bit.
No, the opportunity.
Is that the news organizations look to Comedy Central for their cues on integrity. So what I would suggest is when you talk about you're holding politicians' feet to the fire, I think that's disingenuous. I think you're...
How are you holding up? I mean, come on.
No. I don't... But my role isn't... I don't
but you
think...
You can ask him a real question, don't you think? Instead of saying, you know...
I don't think I have to. By the way, I also asked him, you know, were you in Cambodia? But I didn't really care. Because I don't care. Because I think
I
it's
tell.
Stupid. Well, but my point is this. Mm-hmm. If your idea of confronting me is that I don't ask hard-hitting enough news questions, we're in bad shape, fellas.
We're here to love you, not confront you.
No. But what I'm saying is this. I'm not. I'm here to confront you because we need help from the media, and they're hurting us. And it's...
Now,
the idea
if
is...
Let me get this straight. If the indictment
yeah.
is... If the indictment is, and I have seen you say this, that
yeah.
Crossfire reduces everything, as I said in the intro, to
right.
left, right, black, white.
Yes.
Well, it's because, see, we're a debate show. It's like saying the Weather Channel
no. That'd be great.
To a storm
I would love to see a debate show.
30 minutes in a 24-hour day where we have each side on as best
no,
we can
no,
get
no, 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 no. That would be great.
And have them fight it out.
To do a debate would be great, but that's like saying pro wrestling is a show about athletic competition.
I think you're a good comedian. I think you're lecturing.
Cast a deep shadow on my
on my behalf. Make them shiver in the cold. If they overstep, they would fear that.
Boy, I don't understand.
You do.
You're not asking me to...
Shh.
Your machinery is too much for me. You made me want to be a saint. There must be some other way to settle this argument.
Their depression transforms into a more serious mental illness, like bipolar disorder, what we know as manic depression.
Yes, to the job, it would be illegal to interfere with the hearings. It's unethical. No, I can't.
Unethical.
Because, of course, what they didn't realize was that as you make more and more powerful microscopic instruments, the universe has to get smaller and smaller in order to escape the investigation.
Thirdly, expressively, this is amusing and entertaining, charming and engaging music.
What left yourself really behind? We saints it when we pass out crystals in the weekend. We saints those of you who will let yourself be hugged, and those of you who won't let in the love, won't let in the feeling. Come and have arms wrapped around you, but won't let yourself be hugged. We'll hug, but won't let yourself be hugged. Not that the one is diminished, the other one is beautiful and powerful, and those of you who are huggers, great, but won't you let yourself be hugged once? That also is a very beautiful power within you, and a beautiful, powerful strength within you, and is part of your feminine side. Looking at the feminine energy within you, sensing those particular qualities, as you allow perception, how often do you stop thinking, stop searching for meaning, stop doing that to allow the perception in? And how much do you balance? Do you think in terms of moderation? Do you think in terms of bringing things into a balance? And how much do you let yourself be? We had someone tell us once, I'm working on being, Lazarus. I said, great. He said, once a week, I sit for half an hour and just be. And it's not working. Now, it did happen to be a man who we were talking with, yes. What he was doing was doing being. He was creating the form 30 minutes once a week in my chair, emptying my mind of every thought, and I'm just going to sit here and be for 30 minutes. For the week. Form trying to force content to fill space. Classic male energy, absolutely. Classic male energy. And so we have these energies now. We have these energies that are male and female, neither of which can function really or vice versa. Neither of which can be powerful without the other. Whereas the male energy wills, acts, and manifests the female energy, imagines, feels, and desires. The male energy creates form to force content, to fill context. Feminine energy gathers content to force form, to create context. Whereas male energy shapes and reshapes, forms and reforms, focuses and refocuses to create new structure. Feminine energy nurtures and allows itself to be nurtured, creates and allows itself to be created, loves and allows itself to be loved. Whereas masculine energy dynamically creates and put into action, feminine energy is the ability to create the very action that is dynamically put. The very ability to act, the ability to create, the ability to manifest. Where male energy seeks and searches for meaning, feminine energy allows perception. Whereas masculine energy intuitively, instinctively provides and protects, feminine energy balances. And where the male energy does, the female energy just lets it be. So many of you out of touch with these energies. Knowing what it is to be male or female, fall back on and resort to your gender. Not because you're dumb, not because you're stupid human beings, not because you're unevolved, but because no one has really spent the time to help you understand.
This is called a conversion event, and it's now looking that it's much more common in children and adolescents than in adults.
Well, so you're replacing one problem with another.
With a worse one.
Boy.
Dr. Andres Martin, a professor of child psychiatry at Yale in New Haven, he looked at health data for about 100,000 people, just the records, and they were interested in looking at the people who were diagnosed with depression, and then they compared the people who'd been treated with antidepressants and the people who were not treated with antidepressants. And they found that if you're an adolescent, having your depression treated with drugs actually had an unexpected additional risk.
We had this clinical impression that this conversion phenomenon was more likely in children and adolescents. We see a lot of children in our clinics who have come in displaying manic symptoms after having been on antidepressants for a certain period of time. And that was really the most burning question for us. What we found was consistent with what we anticipate, and that is that when we compared treated and untreated individuals across ages, it was clear that the younger age groups, and particularly the 10 to 14 year olds, peripubertal children and young adolescents, these children were at especially heightened risk for conversion when we compared them to the other age groups. 10 to 14 year olds treated with antidepressants were in general about twofold to threefold as likely to convert to mania when exposed to antidepressants as compared to young adults.
Sinister. Are you being sinister, or is this some form of practical joke? I'm trying to come to the point. I refuse to give up my obsession. America, stop pushing. I know what I'm doing. America, the plum blossoms are falling. I haven't read the newspapers for months. Every day somebody goes on trial for murder. America, I feel sentimental about the Wobblies. America, I used to be a communist when I was a kid. I'm not sorry. I smoke marijuana every chance I get. I sit in my house for days on end and stare at the roses in the closet. Whenever I go to Chinatown, I get drunk and never get laid. My mind is made up. There's going to be trouble. You should have seen me reading Marx. I have mystical visions and cosmic vibrations. America, I still haven't told you what you did to Uncle Max after he came over from Russia. I'm addressing you. Are you going to let your emotional life be run by Time magazine?
Would you excuse us a moment for a minute, please?
Excuse you?
Take a walk.
Boy, are you feeling
unethical? You're trying to embarrass me in front of my family?
Well, it is unethical. I can't.
Oh, boy, you are really something. What the fuck do you think this is? Sunday school?
No, Roy, but this is
gastric juices churning. This is enzymes and acids. This is intestinal, is what this is. Bowel movement and blood red meat. This stinks. This is politics, Joe. This is the game of being alive. And you think you're what? You think you're above that? Above alive is what? Dead in the clouds. You're on Earth, goddammit. Plant a foot. Stay a while. I'm sick. They smell I'm weak. They want blood this time. I must have eyes and justice. And justice, you will protect me.
Well, why can't Mr. Heller?
Oh, grow up, Joe. The administration can't get involved.
I'd be part of the administration, the same as him.
No, not the same. Martin's Ed's man, Ed's Reagan's man. So Martin's Reagan's man. You're mine. This will never be. You understand me? I'm going to be a lawyer, Joe.
I'm going to be a lawyer, Joe. I'm going to be a goddamn motherfucking legally licensed member of the bar. Lawyer, just like my daddy was till my last bitter day on earth. Joseph, till the day I die. Martin's back.
So, are we agreed?
Joe?
I will think about it. I will.
Huh. It's the fear of what comes after the doing that makes the doing hard to do.
Amen.
But you can almost always live with the consequences.
Just as when the telescopes become more and more powerful, the galaxies have to recede in order to get away from the telescopes. Because what is happening in all these investigations is, through us and through our eyes and senses, the universe is looking at itself. And when you try to turn around to see your own head, what happens? See? It runs away. You never get at it. You can't bite your own teeth. You can't touch the tip of this finger with the tip of this finger. This is the principle. Shankara explains it beautifully in his commentary on the Keno Upanishad, where he says that that which is the knower, the ground of all knowledge, is never itself an object of knowledge, just as fire doesn't burn itself. So there's always that profound mystery that you are never going to be in absolute control of what goes on, because if you were, it'd be like making love to a plastic woman.
The beat, as they say, go on. The metaphysics. The end of one man's philosoph, beginning of another man's. One of the key concepts of anti-gravity on a planet like Earth is the plasma bottle, allowing plasma to regulate itself. Now, of course, this can be difficult if you won't even let fire regulate you. Very hard to pass that on. Make the plasma bottle. It's a mystery to plasma physicists. But see, they're carrying a lot of weight on their backs. And I believe it doubles every 10 years, as they say. Of course, who's measuring? So the dragon can bite its own tail and so forth and so on. The mysteries, just depositories of power waiting to be liberated, move on to more mysteries and more power and so forth. I think it's called Being Alive. Not something well known around here on Main Street Matrix. Process of Dying. Shot out of the birth canal takes sometimes as much as 70 or 80 or 90 years to slow that fucker down here in the various allied states of matricide. So, it's been man against woman nigh on 90,000 years now, as I am told. And that would explain post-Marxian observations, such as, we don't need no damn propaganda no more, goddammit. They're gonna follow us, and whoever generates any limp cock of a story, that'll be good enough. God damn it. Weapons of mass. I believe it's called nuclear weapons or biological. I don't like it when these young upstarts rename something that I've been using for a while. What do they think? Because they're in the media, they own my ass? Own my ass? I hate it when these young whippersnappers
enormous problems, and this is a method that they feel they must use.
Well, also, a lot of the growth came from spending all this money on armaments and Star Wars and things like that.
Absolutely.
And so, in other words, we spent more tax money and went into deficits in order to help military hardware companies. And then you say, oh, look at the economy. Look what we've done. But there were trillions of dollars of national debt added in those 8 years. Trillions. While we were being told at the same time that they were going to cut the size of government, and they were going to cut the budget, and they were going to balance the budget, and they never did it. Never. And nobody ever holds them to account for it. Ever.
I'm obsessed by Time magazine. I read it every week. Its cover stares at me every time I slink past the corner candy store. Responsibility. Businessmen are serious. Movie producers are serious. Everybody's serious but me. It occurs to me that I am America. I'm talking to myself again. Asia is rising against me. I haven't got a Chinaman's chance.
When Faulkner wrote Soldiers Pay, his first novel, his job was he in the basement of a house, he shoveled coal into the furnace. 12 hours a day.
I better consider my national resources. My national resources consist of two joints of marijuana, millions of genitals, an unpublishable private literature that goes 1,400 MPH and 25,000 mental institutions. I say nothing about my prisons, nor the millions of underprivileged who live in my flower pots under the light of 500 suns. I have already abolished the whorehouses of France. Tangiers are the next to go. My ambition is to be president, despite the fact that I'm a Catholic. America, how can I write a holy litany in your silly mood? I will continue, like Henry Ford. My strophes are as individual as his automobiles. More so, they're all different sexes. America, I will sell you strophes, 2,500 apiece, 500 down on your old strophe. America, free Tom Mooney. America, save the Spanish loyalists. America, Sacco and Vanzetti must not die. I am the Scottsboro Boys. America, when I was 7, Mama took me to communist cell meetings. They sold us garbanzos, a handful per ticket. A ticket cost a nickel and the speeches were free. Everybody was angelic and sentimental about the workers. It was all so sincere, you have no idea what a good thing the party was. In 1835, Scott Nearing was a grand old man, a real mensch. Mother Bloor made me cry. I once saw Israel Amter plane. Everybody must have been a spy.
So what I did is I read this,
I don't know, yeah, summer of 98, okay?
And it fell apart on airplanes. I was traveling when I read it. But I'd had this copy of the paperback for 25 years or so, since it came out. And I just could never get to it. And I finally got to it, and I just thought it was a great book. So I went to Amazon.com to get all your other books. Well, when they weren't there, I said, well, I'll go to the used thing and get all the out. They must be out of print. I'll go get the out of print ones.
I always felt like I thought like a writer. No, I just read. Yeah, I really did quit scribbling. Yeah. The most important book I read since college was, I caught up with the entire 8 volumes of Casanova's book.
Yeah, he said
it just blew me away. Because autobiography is both a lesser mask and a greater mask, you know. I thought of Murray, too, because he wrote it in his 70s. It goes on the list with Cervantes and some of the things that were written by people in their 70s, you know. They're starting to anthologize Twain's piece about his Confederate War days, that short piece.
Yeah.
Same thing. It's just clairvoyant. It's like you open the page and it's like you're really walking around in Missouri, you know, in 1859 with a bunch of guys. And it's just, you know, you could say that about any nice piece of writing, but, I mean, it's just several steps beyond. But yeah, it changes the question why I don't write a lot of fiction, you know. I just... It's a different mask. I admire it so much, but...
Well, you...
that is a
fiction. Stones. I mean, there's great pieces in there.
Well, that's where the workshop came in. I was taught by poets, you know, an undergraduate. I approached it as each page was a kind of a poem. I considered the whole thing a poem from beginning to end, personally. Now, you can't find meters and rhymes in it, but you know what I mean? It's...
But there's great stories on every page, too. I mean, there's so many stories in the book that I there's enough stories in there for, you know, 10 pieces of fiction. I mean, you know, and you convey them quickly, and then you go through them. It's not the... that's what I liked, you know. It's the stories that drive all these things.
Thank you. You remember better than I do, tell you the truth, in a lot of ways.
I'm
pretty bookish, really.
But the book comes
My
out.
Mom's Heredity and the War and trying to write the great American novel and... trying to get through graduate school and a lot of things. I had an anxiety, acute anxiety, for about 10 years. I was really speeded up. It took me about 19 years of working in a weld shop to sort of smooth out. It took me at least 10 years. But, you know, I sort of... And I took care of my mother. It's kind of a family curse.
So your mom just kept coming home with books from the library?
Yeah.
Biography after biography.
She really did.
And you saw him, what, they were stat? She'd get 3 at a time, or she'd just go one?
Oh, yeah. She was a total voracious reader.
That's something. What did you read as a kid?
I was thinking about that. I had terrible ear trouble. It almost killed me. I used to crush coming to my ears, hospital, before they had penicillin and sulfatrin cure all this. My mom hauled me around town, and my dad would bring me puzzles home, and I remember, I read, before I got out of grade school, I'd read the Bible, because my grandmother sort of forced that. I mean, I read one chapter a night, and I'd read the complete Arthur Conan Doyle Sherlock Holmes that my dad bought me when I was delirious. And you couldn't recapture that experience as long as you live again.
Did you write this longhand?
Yeah, originally. My dad gave me an old IBM typewriter, one of his secretaries turned back in, those 50s things. And I got so, I couldn't type anything looking over here, but if I was looking at here, I can type faster than I could talk, finally. I typed so much for two years.
America, you don't really want to go to war. America, it's them bad Russians. Them Russians, and them Chinamen, and them Russians. The Russia wants to eat us alive. The Russia's power mad. She wants to take our cars from out our garages. Her wants to grab Chicago. Her needs Red Readers' digests. Her wants our auto plants in Siberia. Him big bureaucracy running our filling stations. That no good. Ugh. Him make Indians learn read. Him need big black niggers. Ah. Her make us all work 16 hours a day. Help. America, this is quite serious. America, this is the impression I get from looking in the television set. America, is this correct? I'd better get right down to the job. It's true, I don't want to join the army or turn lathes and precision parts factories. I'm nearsighted and psychopathic anyway. America, I'm putting my queer shoulder to the wheel.
Typing to me is open-ended. You know, my metaphor for that was, you know, the sorcerer's apprentice, the broomstick part, where you pick the broomstick up and you never can drop it again. That's what happened to me on that. That novel may look finished to you, but to me it's totally open-ended. It was never, they took it away from me. Absolutely took it out of my hands. That's what I'm doing now. If I started typing, I just keep redrafting. Shakespeare didn't have paper. You could just see him walking around, memorizing that stuff and going to the playhouse every day and bouncing it off everybody, you know. I tell you, one of the great sorrows of my life, I had the idea of doing Shakespeare in 1592 and 70s. That's one thing I wanted to do. If I could sum my whole intellectual life up, and I finally figured, it took me 20 years to figure this out. First century Rome, Shakespeare, American Civil War in 19th century. That's pretty much what I read. It's pretty much what I'm interested in. Don't ask me why. And there's Scythe, Chaucer, and all the writers I've ever read, fiction writers, but you know what I mean? So if you got me started on Shakespeare in the right mood, that's what I was thinking about last night. You know, his other watershed year is 1605. His great play's Measure for Measure. It's got the early comedies. It's got the tavern scenes. It's got his historical realism in it. And it just takes one step towards what I call his genre tragedies that happened after 1605. He becomes a middle-aged writer, okay? He invented modern psychology, actually, everything we think in a way about it. It's got to be traced to that because it can't be traced to anything else, really. He effectively ended the Middle Ages because you can't read Shakespeare and believe in the divine majesty, you know, the divine right of kings anymore. Kings are all too human. He's the first modern. I mean, he ended the Middle Ages. He really did, somehow. How do we get on to Shakespeare?
You brought him up.
It worked. That was fascinating. All right, wonderful. We've got something to compare the next piece to. I want you to listen to the next piece and use the same criteria. Please, what is the purpose? What is the expressive purpose of the following piece of music? This next piece of music was written in 1808, just 8 years before the Rossini, so they are contemporary works. This is Beethoven's Symphony No. 5, Opus 67, first movement. What is the purpose, the expressive purpose of this music?
Begins to tell at midnight, round midnight. I do pretty well till after sundown. Supper time, I'm feeling sad, but it really gets bad round midnight. Memories always start round midnight, round midnight. Haven't got the heart to stand those memories. When my heart is still with you, and oh, midnight knows it too. When some quarrel we've had needs mending, does that mean that our love is ending? Darling, I need you. Lately, I find you're out of my arms, and I'm out of my mind. Let our love take wing some midnight, round midnight. Let the angels sing of your returning. Let our love be safe and sound when old midnight comes up. A pale and lonely moon lights the sky in the dark before the dawn. I sit here in my room.
Hello, and it's good to be with you again, isn't it, Ronnie? Yes, it is. And in a packed program tonight, we shall meet a scientist who crossed the theories of Sigmund Freud with those of Albert Einstein and got sex at the speed of light. And for the ladies, tonight we talk about rumbabas and what to wear if you've got them. But first, the news. Following the dispute with the Domestic Servants Union at Buckingham Palace today, the Queen, a radiant figure in silk gown and crimson robe, swept down the main staircase and through the hall. She then dusted the cloakroom and hoovered the lawn.
In a dramatic incident in the House of Commons last night, Mr. Cyril Smith rose from the Liberal front bench and the rest of the party fell off the other end.
There's a brand new day in sight. At that time, round midnight, life's a game of chance, and you're one of the minor players. Look for what you love the day to come, harbor some. Let your spirit stop the fight. At the time round midnight. Every day's gonna bring some sadness. Every day's gonna bring some gladness. So take what you can of the glad times. Don't measure your pleasure in nickels and dimes. You better look back on today, and you know when you fears, don't chase away just my hide at night.